The Holy Mother Church was right when she proclaimed the value of the family as the building block of not only the faith, but of our community, society, and our country, and in fact, the whole world. The family has always been the center for her. She even puts the family in the sanctuary. In her churches all over the world, you would find in the sanctuary, at the center, Jesus. And on his right would be his mother Mary, and on the left, his earthly father, Joseph. So, what happened? Where did the family go? Consider what has happened in the sanctuary of many churches. Many don't have a representation of the Holy Family anymore. And in some, even the Son has been removed as the tabernacle has been shoved off to the side, or even out of the sanctuary altogether. It all started to be torn apart about 60 years ago, not just in the sanctuary, but in the world as well. Sociologists point to the sexual revolution, fanatical women's liberation movements, and acceptance of abortion and birth control as the main causes of the decline of the family, all beginning in earnest about 60 years ago, as witnessed by rising divorce rates, rising single-parent families, and a staggering increase in suicide rates, especially amongst young people, as their families had been torn apart. Are these events, the depopulating of the sanctuary and the decline of the family, related, or are they coincidence? Well, perhaps it's a bit of both. One may not have caused the other, but I would propose that one reflects the other. As the church celebrates today the second of the five feasts of the Christmas season, the Feast of the Holy Family, that we reflect on the great role of the human family that it has within God's plan for all of us. We realize that as celebrating God the Son's birth helps us reverence human life as a gift from God, our celebration of the Holy Family can help us reverence the human family, what we call the domestic church. For many of us, this season presents opportunities to be with the members of our families. And no matter what difficulties might exist, the time spent together helps us to realize something rejected by the world, but preached as truth by the church. The family is the basic unit, or the basic block of society. It always has been, and it always will be. It isn't the village that is preached to us by politicians and governments. It is mom, dad, brother, and sister, even if they are extended family members, that are the family. Again, what builds society. And what holds these blocks together is none other than love, a deep and eternal love, the same love that Jesus had for his mother and for his father. This preaching of the family certainly doesn't mean that they are perfect, however. No one in the family is perfect, so how could any family be perfect? Even the Holy Family had its troubles. Just to name a few of the issues of their so-called perfect family, recall that they were a bit of a blended lot. They didn't have money. They were threatened with death, and they had to move out of their homeland and become refugees. And as we heard in our gospel, mother and father had to go looking for their son, and when they found him, they may have even gotten a little bit of an attitude from him. And you parents of adolescents might know what that is. But what Jesus was telling them, however, was that it was for his divine Father that he had come to earth. And it was his divine Father who was his goal in life. But it wasn't that he didn't love and respect his earthly father, Joseph. The message to Mary and Joseph is the same for us. Jesus was born and died in order to lead us to our heavenly Father. And when the heavenly Father is at the center of the family, then it certainly is an earthly treasure, just as the Holy Mass is an earthly treasure, and hopefully a center of life for us. In fact, the family and the Mass mirror each other. Dr. Michael Foley, who is not only a patristics professor, but also husband and father of six, points out that the four principal ends of the Mass are also the four most important things to teach our children and for everyone in the family to carry out. The four principal ends of the Mass are adoration, thanksgiving, petition, and satisfaction. He goes on to point out that these four ends are realized in the domestic church, the family as well. He ties these ends with the most important words that we can say in family life. The adoration of the Mass corresponds with the underused words of, "I love you." The thanksgiving of the Mass relates to the phrase often overlooked, "Thank you." In the Mass, we petition the Father with our requests. At home, we can adopt that word, "please." And if we look upon the sacrifice of Jesus, we need the words, "I'm sorry," not only to him on the cross, but to our brothers and sisters and our mother and fathers as well. These words, "I love you," "thank you," "please," and "I'm sorry," are the most important words that we can use because they are based in love, that deep, eternal love that has been given to us all by God. So let us, on this day when we celebrate the Holy Family, thank God for the family that we have and the family that's represented in our churches and in our homes. And let us pray that the family can once again be the building block, not only of society, but of the body of Christ. In our worship spaces and in our homes, may the family reign supreme.